This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So yesterday, a unanimous college football playoff committee decided that we're going to just seed the teams according to their rankings as opposed to the top four seeds being conference champions, which is the best way to go about this thing. They had to give the conference champions, though, the money they would have received for getting into the second round, which is $8 million. Four for making it, four for getting into the second round. So the conference champs, that was the... So, like, Boise got a bye last year. They would have been the ninth seed had it been under these rules. Instead, they got a first-round bye. Arizona State as well, right? Arizona State got the bye. There were ridiculous, really good first-round matchups and then second-round matchups that you're like, that they shouldn't be there. So the college football playoff, it's going to be better. It's going to mean something. Maybe Oregon would have lasted more than one game had they not had to play. They played Ohio State first, right? Who'd they play? Oregon?
They had a bye, and they played Ohio State and got thumped in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this is a much better way to go, right? This is a much better way to go about it.
Yeah. It's the only way to go about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing else ever made sense. I get it. You screwed up the first time. Just fix it, and everything's cool.
Yeah. Now, for some reason, Dell, they said 2026 isn't even set. This thing could change every year, it looks like. I think, are they waiting for are they going to go to a 16-team playoff in 26? Is that why we don't have anything set for 26 yet?
Well, I thought that was the reporting earlier this month where the four guaranteed spots for the Big Ten, the SEC, two for the Big 12.
Right.
So I think, yeah, this is the only reason we're not going forward with this model is because they already have another model in place.
Yeah,
for 2026.
But it'll probably still be rankings.
Yes,
I would think.
But the big change is beyond more teams is guaranteed spots at minimum four or eight if you combine the SEC and the Big Ten. So we're going more to, like, it's not invites, but it's almost like that. I guess as long as you finish in the top four of the SEC, determined by the CFP committee, you're going to make the playoff.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what your record is. If you're one of the top four SEC teams, you make it.
Top four ranked SEC.
And that's the way God intended it,
yeah,
when he made the Bible.
Yes. But ranked, yes. Because the assumption is that the SEC will have at least four in their top 25 rankings. So, but it doesn't matter what you are. You could be 8-4. But if you're in that top 25 in the SEC and you're one of the four best teams, consider you're making it. You could. It's almost like if you lose all your – in the unlikelihood that you lose all your out-of-conference games, which you are a really good SEC team in conference, you're going to make the playoff.
Right, right. If you're a really good SEC team, then you probably should make it.
I mean, I'm always going to be in favor of fewer to make it harder, to make it to really pay homage to the best players, the best teams. But that's not the way. I mean, everything in every sport is about maximizing the absolute most money you can squeeze out of everything to the very, very end. So anything that doesn't maximize the most amount of money that somebody can put in their pockets, they're not going to do. They're only going to do the things that puts the most amount of money in their own individual pockets. The mm-hmm. only thing that's ever going to happen. And that's just the way life is now. Nothing else matters. Literally nothing else matters unless you can get the most amount of money. So, they'll keep going, 24 teams, 48 teams. They won't even have a season. They'll just play a whole tournament at some point, like a Champions League.
And to your point about quality.
Not for a while, but it'll happen.
The first round games, none of the first round games were played within one possession. It was at least two scores. And these were Ohio State, Tennessee, Texas, Clemson, Notre Dame, Indiana, Penn State, SMU. So whether you got to buy or not, the quality of these games wasn't great. How many good games did we actually have? Texas, Arizona State was a good one. And then yeah. Notre Dame, Penn State was a good one. Ohio State, Texas could have come down until Quinn Ewers got hit and fumbled. But for the most part, we probably had two good football games.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
First half when they scored, it was just ridiculous. Here's what we would have had we had this system. Clemson, Notre Dame, 12-5, would have played in the first game.
Yeah, a bit better.
Boise State, Indiana, the 8-9 game.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Made more sense.
That makes more sense. Ohio State, Arizona State, the 6-11.
That would have been a scrap for Ohio State.
Yep. And then Tennessee and SMU, 7-10.
Yeah, who cares?
The winner gets Georgia.
SMU looked pathetic.
Yeah, they weren't.
So did Tennessee.
Yeah, so did Tennessee. But at least Tennessee got the brakes beaten off of them by the team that was everybody. Like,
yeah.
At least you look back and say, oh, they just ran into a bus.
Well, I mean, Penn State lost by 3 in the semifinals.
Plus, Imaliava was too busy searching for new deals from Oregon before the game.
Very possible. But I don't know if rankings or seedings or how they do it are going to affect the quality of the game.
Will we see the first player sit out a playoff game next year or threaten a sit out publicly unless he gets a renegotiation of his NIL? I say yes. Next year is when it first happens.
No.
At least first happens publicly. Apparently it's already happened.
If he's going to be that good, I think that this Iamaliava stuff is going to slow a lot of
stuff.
I think it is because dads are going to look at this. They're going to look at the SMU. They're going to look at the UNLV situation. They're going to go, wait a minute. Hold on. We're killing ourselves here. All right. We have got to go about this thing
smarter. You're giving dads a lot of credit.
I'm giving agents credit. Do you want to play in the NFL? You cannot hold a team hostage for your playoff
game. Yeah, that's really dumb. For guys who have higher aspirations, I'm telling you, they're doing themselves a big disservice right now. Because these teams, this is what I heard. You know why teams love NIL right now? They don't love it for the players because I was talking to Alonzo. He's like, dude, you cannot believe how entitled players are now. It's unbelievable. I've had agents tell me that too. But he said, I had multiple people say this. They love that NIL tells them who a player is now. Like before you didn't know, you always ask the question, what will a player be with more time, more money, and more access?
Oh, right.
Cause it changes. If you've got that in your personality that maybe ball's secondary, but you want to really just live that lifestyle. Sometimes you can't tell that when they're in college. Cause they didn't, you know, you're not going to find that out. You find it out now right away.
They're finding out
about players.
Well, it's not like Shador didn't have money before, but you look at the difference between him and Cam Ward.
It was always going to be different.
Daniels. But Shador's lived that rich life his whole life.
Yeah, Shador is different to me because Shador's trying to live up to Deion, which is unfair because no one's Deion. And Deion wants to put him on a pedestal. That's complicated because Deion is trying to – he tried to literally create himself in a lab out of one of his sons, but his sons don't have it. Like, you can have all the swag you want, but if you're not good enough to – like, it's just unfair what Deion is asking of Shador. And Shador wants to live up to it. That's his idol. Like, his dad is his idol. It's totally understandable.
Well, but look at how he went about it with the watches and the – all of the stuff that he was doing, and look at where he fell in the draft. The NFL saw what they saw with a guy that had NIL money, and they didn't like it.
John, if he ran a 4.52 and ran for nine and played like Jaden Daniels and had all his watches and everything, he's the first or second pick of the draft. The watches wouldn't have mattered. The watch celebration, had he been a really dynamic two-way player like Jaden Daniels was, would not have mattered a single bit. Now, all that stupid stuff that they try to do with, I'm not talking to you, I'm not talking to you, I'm not answering your questions, I'm not, like, that wouldn't have benefited. That would have hurt everybody. There's nobody that would have, like, survived that. Now, they wouldn't have fallen out of the first. Not somebody who had special talent like Jaden Daniels. And Jaden's mom was a little bit of an issue. You know, they dealt with that kind of stuff. Kyler Murray's dad has been an issue. We saw David Carr's dad here. He wasn't a bad guy, but he was at every practice. They hated it that his dad was here, you know, overlording over everything. I don't think, John, you remind, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think David's dad was like, I don't think he was a troublemaker and had a bunch of comments all the time, but it's just like they were like, dude, what are you at our practice for? You're the dad. This isn't high school. We don't need you at our practices. I do remember being told that the team did not like his dad being at all the practices.
No, they didn't. No, it was I was standing next to him a lot watching practice.
They say he's a nice guy and everything, but
great guy.
Dads don't belong at the practices.
Derek was a great little kid
running.
Derek was a great little kid running around, you know, pretending to be an NFL quarterback, and then Denton, and then he became one, kind of, and then you know, it was a weird thing. It's not daddy ball. You don't sit there and watch every practice in the NFL.
Let him grow
up,
man. You got to let those. I get that you're proud and all that, but you got to let them go out and do their thing.
Yep. All right. 713-780-3776. You can get in and do your thing. Let's go. I got to talk about Doc Linville right now. I got to talk about hair. I got to talk about you right now. You woke up this morning. You looked in the mirror and you said, "Man, uh-oh." All right, what's going on up there? What the hell is going on? I'm losing my hair. You go and you wash your hair in the shower, and there's all kinds of hair down there. You're like, wait, what is going on? Don't wait until it's all gone. Be proactive. Doc has topical stuff that you can put on. He has the PRP, which will help stimulate the growth of your own hair. He has got the neo grafting, which is the best way to move the hair from the side and back to the top. But if you sit on your hands, this is on you. You know what? That hair is going to be falling all around you, and you ain't going to be able to make it up. You got to do it while you still can. Don't wait until you're bald. It's too late. Do it now. You are worried about it, and the worry is going to make it worse. Okay? Stop. You don't have to worry about it anymore. There's something for you, and it's a great process. It's simple, and it's affordable, too. It's easy. Doc is the best. Where do you see his hair side manner is excellent. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Big ups to the Northwestern women's golf team. National champions. About time. Downtrodden Northwestern girls.
About time. Were they the sleeping giant
in
women's golf?
I don't know if you saw their team. It's a lot. Listen. There's an Asian persuasion on that team, and they dominate. I mean, it really is about time.
Were they always full of women of Asian descent, and they had disappointed up until this year?
I don't know if they just – I just loaded up this year. I don't know.
Just let them cook, Dale.
I'm just trying to figure out why it's about time.
Well, I've got another take that might not be as popular. Did you guys happen to see the Caitlin Clark exchange at half court yesterday?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Ryan Howard, I didn't know existed until, is that her name? Ryan, I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you said Ryan Howard. Like, what did the Phillies first baseman have
Ryan
to say
Howard
about
is
this?
The woman, is the female that was pushing Caitlin Clark at half court. And Caitlin was like, I ain't scared of you.
Uh-huh.
It's open season now on Caitlin Clark because – Ryan Howard is all over the news today, and the thing is, an exchange at half court. Caitlin Clark stands up for herself against a bully on the basketball court.
Open season. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's open season now. Every team, Ryan Howard is coming after her every game.
Well,
a different type.
I would do that too. Did
that
you
no
see
one
the game?
Knows,
yeah,
that's
the
make
right
a name for
that's
gonna
the right
make
thing.
A name for herself.
It's the right thing to do. Did you see the game she had? First time she's never had a three-pointer in a game. It's right. She scored 11 points. It's 100% the correct thing to do.
She's going to get bullied. Absolutely.
Yeah, you should do that. You're trying to take her out of her game. She's not a damsel in distress. I swear, she's tough.
No,
Caitlin Clark doesn't need a bunch of white knights coming in on horses to save her.
No, actually, my point being,
yeah,
is she the Jackie Robinson of the WNBA?
Oh, see, there we go.
Is she
Diana Taurasi weeps for your ignorance?
Sue Bird was in the league.
Sue Bird literally weeps for your ignorance.
But
other white women have been in the league a long time.
What she has to go through?
Not that since John's watched, this is the first one he's seen.
Wow, I can't believe. John's like, can't believe
this is the first white player in WNBA history. John,
is she? But what she has to go through?
What do you mean?
And
physical basketball
overtone of this whole thing.
She takes on more of it, but that's the. That's the nature of social media and the like. She does take on. She takes on more than
that. I'm asking.
The answer is no. There.
No, she's not Jackie Robinson.
She's not the Jackie Robinson.
And she probably wouldn't be a big fan of you saying that. She's like, why are you putting more of a bullseye on my back by saying stuff like this?
It just feels
like fans put more of a bullseye on her back. I don't think. I don't know if people realize that.
Of this racial overtone.
Most people hate. See, this is. I figured this out a long time ago. The hate for players or teams, typically, if you really boil it down, you actually hate the fans more. Like, I think a lot of people hate Caitlin Clark's fans more than Caitlin Clark. I think a lot of people hate Angel Reese's fans more than they hate Angel Reese, or however you want to.
I don't know.
However
I
you
want to
populate it, it's the people hate
each other.
The people hate each other. I don't I don't know why you would hate either one of them, but you start to because you hate their team, their fans. Like I hear a lot of people, I hate the Jazz. Yeah, I hated the Jazz, but I really hated their fans. Like their fans were representative, and I just thought these swarmy little nasty people. Well, they had people who were did dirty things.
They were hateable.
They had people who did dirty things.
All right, we got callers on the line. We asked for them, so let's get them in. Gary,
okay, get your Caitlin Clark calls in, guys. 713.
Hey,
Angel Reese, your thoughts.
Put it on the poll. Is Caitlin Clark the Jackie Robinson?
Yes. 713-780-3776. And can she be saved?
Who's the WNBA's Branch Rickey? Coming up next.
And the Eddie Goodell of the league. Are we making a mockery with these tiny players? 713-780.
Tyler Murray, the Eddie Goodell of football.
Of quarterbacks.
All right, Gary, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Not really touching Caitlin Clark, but, yeah, that's crazy. I did want to talk about college football. So I'm 42 years old, so, like, I'm not that old, but I'm not young either. But I think they're ruining college football with this playoff. Like, they're going to add more teams. Like, last year, the Final Four teams were, was it Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas, and Ohio State? Like, there's no, like, underdog that's going to win in college football. Like, the sport is just not built like that. Like, everybody wants it to be that, but that's not what it is. Like, it's never been that, but it's never going to be that. We can invite SMU and Boise State and all of that stuff, all we want to, and that's fine, but they're going to get their heads beat in by a bigger team. It happens every single year. The other point I want to make, you guys were talking about, like, the top, I guess, 25 players. And somebody mentioned Vince Young's, like, 4th-and-28 against Oklahoma State. The reason we remember that, because if he doesn't make that play, they don't go on to win the championship.
That's a good point.
Like, college football, like, every game is supposed to matter. Like, you realize Ohio State lost to Michigan and Oregon last year, and then go on to win the championship. It is not the NFL. They will ruin the sport. We already have the NFL. And I guess I'll just be old and I'll just keep yelling at the sky.
I'm older than you, and I disagree wholeheartedly. Give the guys a shot. Listen, every single team that walks on the field in July when they start their practices has a chance. Okay, in the old system, the Rices, the Boises, the New
Rices.
Mexico's. Well, yeah, you have a chance.
No.
If you play, wait, yes, you do, because there's going to be a representative. If you step
say
up
Boise.
And out of nowhere, you step up and play great ball. SMU stepped up out of nowhere last year.
Yeah,
and
that's
they played
fine.
Great ball.
Yeah, but SMU was a good team. Don't say Rice. Rice has no chance to do anything.
Hey, listen, Lance, they could do it. They absolutely could. They have a shot.
They don't care about
at
football.
Least they have a shot. Because in the past, no, there was no shot. I just got a text from Chase, and he was like, hey, as long as if you're going to talk about Northwestern, how about that HCU is going to be taking on New Orleans, game two of the Southland Conference Finals. Huskies win tonight. We go to the NCAA baseball tournament. You know what's awesome? That in HCU, in no other sport except football, do you not have a chance at a national championship. You have a chance in every other sport because they give you a shot. And finally, the little guys are getting a shot in college football, and I think it's great. So far, they got their ass kicked, yes. And they might get their ass kicked for years and years and years. But someday, one of these little teams, one of these New Mexicos or Boises or somebody, is going to step up and they're going to win a big game and maybe get to the semifinals, and then who knows. But here's the deal. At least they have a shot. In the past, you've had no shot. You started the football season knowing, I don't have a chance to do anything because they won't give me a chance. Now you have a chance, and I love it.
I think you're both right there. What he said was 100% right. The Vince Young play is borderline irrelevant. It's just a side note of the game. It mattered so much more because Texas-USC was not going to happen if they lost that game to Les Miles and Oklahoma State. It was a huge, huge play at the time.
College football will always, in some ways, be regional and provincial. Of course,
do you think college football is?
In the way that Gary's talking about, sure, people here know that play happened. But if you ask someone who roots for Ohio State, do they know that play happened? Maybe,
no,
maybe
that
not.
That was a major team. Texas undefeated.
No, understood, but we're talking 20 years ago now. The assumption that, like, I can recount plays from my favorite team's national championship year that you won't know. It's just sometimes how it goes.
Yeah, but they'll all remember the national championship.
Yeah, but
sure.
Listen, Craig Krenzel had a last-second win against, or they struggled against Cincinnati that year, Ohio State, when they beat Miami.
And then they beat Purdue 12-7. But we're college football nuts, so of course we remember that stuff. Other people, if you just like your team, but even if they're a national power, you might not know that Vince Young play happened. But yes, it was a major play in the sport. I don't think what's happening as far as the teams makes a big difference. As far as where the sport is going, I've railed against it on my own. So I just don't like the invitational aspect of it where we're guaranteeing spots. If you earn it, which is likely an SEC thing anyway, a Big Ten team would likely earn that spot anyway. That's fine. But I don't want to go into the year knowing that at least four of these teams are in no matter what.
It's a meritocracy, what you're calling for, Dell. It's never going to be that because you worry about lawsuits. And, John, you don't want it to be meritocracy.
No.
You want guys to get free passes.
The problem
with
college football and what you're talking about there, Dell, is it's hard to decide what the meritocracy is when I'm playing an SEC schedule and you're playing a Big 12 schedule. I mean, it's not like we have it's so uneven what the schedules that we're playing. It's hard to decide who's actually better. Was SMU better than Alabama? They got in. SMU got in and Alabama didn't.
I mean, we watched Alabama all year long, and they had a bunch of stinkers. Now, if they played against SMU, you would assume because of legacy and recruiting that they would win.
I was all for SMU getting in. I mean,
I was too.
If you get there, though, and you get your ass kicked, then you deal with the consequences of people saying they should have never been there, these sorry-ass little schools.
No, I was there too. I was there too, but my point being, that Alabama wouldn't have got there anyway, right? I mean, either way.
They were the final. Right. They would if SMU lost to Clemson, if they decided not to take SMU, Alabama would have been the team in their place. Because
No. But with the four teams.
Yeah.
They already had four teams in.
Yeah.
So Alabama's not getting in anyway. So my point being, though, man, I just – let's – college football has been so tight on – and it's all been – and what I hate even more is when we only had the two teams that played the – what was it called when it was just two teams?
BCS.
The BCS. A bunch of fat guys that never played the game in their lives are deciding who the best college football teams are.
Well,
the
that's
two best college
that's not
football
entirely. That's the
some
easy
of
the argument.
Computers
that's not
as
even
well.
Computers,
that,
yeah,
the computers had their part
that's
in
not,
it.
Yeah, the computers were a huge part at first, and frankly, they knew.
And so but, was the AP.
But your point sure. is fine. I just think there's your point is fine. It needed to expand certainly beyond two. Where I mean that was too tough. The four, I was fine with the four because rarely did we ever see a fifth team that really – usually you only had two and sometimes three teams. And the fourth team typically was like, they don't really even deserve to be here. And they usually got it handed to them. It was almost always Notre Dame or Oklahoma, and they got the brakes beat off of them every year. But I get it. It's money. And I understand the idea of letting – you know, of giving smaller teams. You know, I would certainly not put New Mexico on the same – I mean, realistically, those teams will probably never have a chance anymore. Not now, for sure, because you have to have a certain amount of money to compete or you have no chance. No chance. You have to have a certain money or you have to be regional like Boise and pull in some regional corn-fed players. I just said corn-fed players. You okay. can be black and be corn-fed, okay. Dell.
I was just wondering.
That's where you're going. Tristan Wirfs was corn-fed.
I was just wondering where you're going. But as far, but to your point, New Mexico they are not going to compete because it's not financially viable for them to try to compete at that level.
That's what's the real the real crime here is that you say that, you know, we can pretend that everyone has a chance now because of the playoffs, but the NIL plus, not just NIL, the NIL plus the transfer portal creating an everlasting free agency has just rendered any good player that New Mexico gets will be gone. They've already had players. I remember one of their offensive linemen got plucked to, I think, Rutgers, one of their top tackles. I was consulting for a college football team who was looking
better
for tackles.
You better win while they're young, then.
You're just not going to be able to buy enough.
I think the NIL opens up the field to teams who believe they can win a national title. I don't know if that New Mexico has ever. They want to play. They want to play well. Beat New Mexico
State.
But it does,
to John's point. It does open it up for, you know, if Rutgers catches a heater or whatever. Yeah,
well,
they got a
seen
shot.
Them. It gives them an opportunity.
Yeah.
Boys.
Yeah. No,
so
that's true.
To the point of teams who have been good college football programs but never been able to get in, it opens it up for them. So does NIL if you want to invest. Texas Tech is all of a sudden a bit of an NIL power. So it does open it up. But most of – I will say this.
And Tech, by the way, apparently is spending – Hand over fist right now.
Well, more games doesn't offend me. More teams having a shot doesn't offend me. The blowouts in those games don't offend me. It's football. I'll watch it, whatever. I just think the way they have decided to compile their field is a bigger problem for me than the more teams.
But I don't know that there's a solution to it.
Because
to be
Big Ten and SEC hold them hostage. So.
Well, they are holding them hostage. That's it. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, good conversation. Thanks, Gary. For the call. We appreciate it. Chastain Ford is what we're talking about now. Chastain Ford has got employee pricing. If you're an employee at a place, you want the best deal you can get, right? You want a discount. Hey, I work for you, all right? I want the best deal that I could possibly get. And you know what? Chastain Ford says, yes, that's true. If you work for Chastain Ford, you think you're not going to – yes, of course you are. Well, how about everybody gets that now? Everybody's getting that. You say, well, that's happening throughout the country. I see employee pricing all over the place with Ford. It's true. But do you see add-ons? Do you see markups? Do you see them working their tail off to get you the best interest rate? There's a difference at Chastain Ford. They're going to make sure that you get the vehicle at the best price that you possibly can. They're not interested, and it's true. This is true. They're not interested in marking up. They're not interested in adding on. They're not. What they're interested in is you getting that vehicle at the best price you can so that you're coming back. And you will be back. I've been back after I bought my first one 3 times since then. I'm going back there because I know that I'm going to get my best deal. At ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown. Tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN. 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 97.5, 713-780-377. Is Israel still on the line? 713-780-3776. Let's get him in here. He's been waiting, so we'll get him in here. And what's up, Israel?
Everything's good. Hey, real quick, man. Deion raised them the way a father should. Deion took their little private schools to national champion to play, you know what I mean, for the champion with a high school championship. But let me tell you about Shador. Shador is the story of the draft. Yeah, he fell to the fifth. It wasn't because of his talent. It's because of the talking heads. And the one thing, the GM, he on the hot seat. The GM, the brother did not take him, who drafted that short guy, and they shouldn't have put. Now, you used to have the radio. We just listen to people, you know, tell these stories. But when they put the camera on the field doing the rookie minicamp, and that little guy, the reporter in Cleveland was like, he's shorter than me. When I can't even believe, he made that little guy make the GM and the rest of them look stupid. The owner was at the rookie minute. What owner goes to the rookie camp? He watching it because he the one who picks the door. You know what's going to happen? And Pickett, or whatever his name is, Pickens, who they traded a fifth-round draft pick player to get, he got 20 starts. 15 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. So get him out of the way. They'll get rid of him. But the little guy, he ain't got it. He ain't got it. And everybody, the whole world seen it. And the old man, Flacco, we already know. He's done. He's 41 years old. And Shador jersey is the number one selling jersey amongst the rookies. And not only that, he's getting the money off the field. You see his new Grady Ray commercial? The corporates, just like with Caitlin Clark and Andrew Reese. Andrew Reese is it. She is digital now. Everything is different. Andrew Reese can go live right now, and all y'all, she can triple y'all with the people, especially online. Y'all got like 100 people. Man, listen here, bro. The things have changed, man. Y'all can, you know, try to keep these false narratives, but Shador is going to be starting in Cleveland, and he's going to win. He's won everywhere he goes. He turned around Colorado. Yeah, they went forward with whatever it's his first year, but they was one. And then he went to the nine and took him to a bowl. He is going to win. And all the false narratives, he's going to make them look like the haters they are. And they should be suing him for collusion. All right, y'all.
Wow, that was all over the place. All over the place. I didn't understand a lot of it, but
you know, it's a lot of energy.
I think
for
he likes. I don't know. I'm getting the feeling that Israel likes Shador, and he thinks he's good. That's the feeling I got out of that call.
How much winning have the Browns done in your lives?
They have.
I didn't hear what he said, but I hear what you say. Yeah. How much winning have the Browns done? Not much at all.
So, just playing the odds, the fifth round pick quarterback, no matter whether it was Shador or not, should I be betting on that guy to turn the Browns around? The Browns around? Should I?
If he does, he's
yes, but I don't play exceptions. I generally go by historically speaking in the odds, and the odds say Shador will be a footnote in Browns history, the rather sad history, and it'll have less to do with Shador and the fact that the Browns are just the Browns. They're just the Browns.
It's a bad place for anybody to be.
Yes, it's not. It's less about him and the fact that it's the Browns, and they generally don't breed an environment for guys to succeed. So I'm gonna bet that Shador doesn't overcome the Browns.
Yeah.
Even if he is Deion's son,
odds are he won't.
And chances are he could go somewhere after that.
Maybe it could happen, and have a better career, but I'm going to take the Browns in this one. Their legacy over Shador.
You're probably not beating the legacy of the Browns, Shador or anyone else. Baker couldn't do it. Deshaun couldn't do it. I mean, Deshaun was already cooked, but Baker couldn't do it. It's Tim Couch couldn't do it. Nobody can do it. It's almost impossible. It's literally quarterbacks go there to die. He has very little chance of succeeding, historically speaking. Yeah. Same thing goes with Dylan Gabriel or anyone else in that huddle.
Name a guy. I don't care who's currently on the roster. The Browns win out. They always do. But not in the way they like.
Right.
Yeah. Didn't the Browns make the playoffs or something?
Yeah, and the Texans dispatched them without mercy. that one time, the Browns.
That one time.
Then they Baker went made the playoffs once. They beat the Steelers and then got wiped out. It's the Browns.
My dad made the playoffs when he coached with the Browns.
Yeah. Historic.
Kelly Holcomb threw for like 400 yards in the snow and they tricked it off and lost the Steelers.
Somehow, someway, they lost that game to the Steelers.
They
remember.
I don't even know how they lost it. They're the same team that won a game. My dad's first game with the Browns, they won the game, but stupid Dwayne Rudd
tossed his helmet.
Threw his helmet tossed in the middle helmet. Of a play.
Oh,
they got a
15-yard
penalty, kicked the field goal on one, and I had the biggest – the two times I've probably been most mad in my life were after it, after the that loss. And my wife and I were just married. She got to see what I was really like. And then whenever I punched a hole, multiple holes in the wall after stupid Texas Tech center Tony Batty kept missing free throws at the end of the game when I had my Pigskin Sports handicapping service, and we lost what should have been an easy five-star win because this trick-ass trick kept missing free throws. And I punched about five holes in my garage.
Like somebody's still mad about something or something.
Yeah. I mean, make a free throw.
That's crazy. Oh.
Celtic legend Tony Batty.
I didn't understand half of what he was.
I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure it wasn't very good, and I'm sure it was racially based. Though I don't even listen because
he mentioned some Angel Reese and
That's all part. Shador Sanders and Angel Reese was what I gather.
Angel Reese,
she brings attention. They mentioned our low stream numbers or something. It was a lot of stuff.
Angel Reese doesn't ever plays again in women's basketball. The numbers stay just as high.
Yeah.
He was talking about our numbers.
It's not gonna.
He's like
our numbers.
He was talking about how digitally, if you put her on something, people want to watch. And
that's true.
Yeah, that's what he was talking.
Yeah,
about.
Well, I mean, if Israel knows her,
if you want to get her
checked,
on,
he knew a bunch of people who were inside of college football.
Was that him or is that someone else? Either way, Israel, if you want to get Angel Reese on this show,
come on, we'll bring her in.
Yeah,
that's fine.
We'll talk to her.
Yeah, a lot of people will stream. That'll be great.
It'd be great for us.
I don't know what difference it makes for us. It won't make us any money, but. We're not a YouTube channel that we just try to get a bunch of subscriptions. So, well, we are a YouTube channel, but
we
do like subscriptions, actually.
Yeah, it shows that people at least will maybe pay attention to what we put out there.
What are we talking about? We're not. His calls are some of the worst in radio history. I've been doing radio history a while now, and I can say that. And it's not even funny. Like, it's not even fun like we had with Collie would make us pissed off. But then Collie would also say fun, funny stuff, too. Yeah. Israel's just historically, he's generationally terrible.
You don't even like using the word generational.
I know.
And you'll use it for him?
Generationally bad at what he says. Like, I'm surprised he didn't get somehow work Cam Smith in there, that the world is somehow against Cam Smith, where we don't even talk about Cam Smith.
Well, how could the world be against Cam Smith when Cam Smith was the number one overall pick?
The world is for Cam Smith. And the world, by the world, I mean Houston.
Okay, we gotta have an Aaron Rodgers segment.
We do?
Well, there is. Did you?
I got into it with an Aaron Rodgers guy yesterday, and I tried to shame him into hurting himself.
Did you see what? Well, I'll send it to you, Dell. What the GM of the 49ers at the time said about drafting Alex Smith instead of him
back in 2005 was
God,
it?
God, who was that GM back then?
Yeah, I'm gonna get.
Okay,
it.
We'll come back
on the other side. On the other side. Plus, Aaron Rodgers was on Joe Rogan, and boy, he was just firing. Just all.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's playing football anymore.
I don't know.
I'm getting close to believing that he's not going to be
a
Steeler.
He went after LeBron.
Yeah.
He did not care. We will do that on the other side. But first. We got to talk about your air conditioning. I mean, I keep on talking about preventive stuff. We talk about preventive stuff with your hair. We talk about preventive stuff with your air, with your plumbing. We talk about preventive stuff with your roof. How about preventive stuff with your air conditioners? Okay, do the preventive work, and you don't have to worry about it breaking down or getting worse. If you've not done anything with your air conditioner, it's 1,000 degrees outside every day now until the fall, until late fall. It's going to be hot, 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 nonstop. And your air conditioner is going to work, work, work. That's all it's going to do. And you, my friends, need Air Team. AirTeamLTD.com will come to your home, and they will look and they will clean out your air conditioner. They're going to make sure the Freon is slow and great. If you've got any motor issues, everything. But if you don't do anything, then chances are it's going to break down and you're going to have to replace it. Now, instead of talking about, I don't know how much it costs, not much, to come to your house and do that, or tens of thousands of dollars to replace an air conditioner, over $10,000 to replace an air conditioner. Which one is better? So find out now. Go to airteamltd.com and let them look at your and make sure that your air conditioning is running great. 713-936-5346, airteamltd.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, we got more calls. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776, you're more than welcome to. Before we do, Ronel Blanco going on the IL. Ronel Blanco, IL. Okay.
Getting a second opinion.
Check out that elbow. We're going to check out that elbow.
The first opinion, inflammation. Now he's getting a second. He's wearing some of your clothes, by the way. Lance is not Ronel Blanco.
Roughnecks!
What you got my clothes on for? I leave and like my little brother, he takes my clothes.
I'm wearing your roughnecks. I lost a little weight, now I'm wearing all your clothes. You're done.
You got my roughneck sweatshirt?
Because it's literally generationally freezing in here. I mean, this is me. You've been in here before. You've been in here when it's been this cold. It
oh
is,
my God! Yeah.
It's so hard to focus on Israel's really good sports calls.
It did AD lower the air in there?
Yeah, we had to get it cool
because of the new Latina over there on the other side.
What's wrong with you?
She did say, "God, it's really cold in here," and I said, well, "I mean, yeah." I don't think anyone did it intentionally because of a quote-unquote new Latina. You know, our intern's out there, and Dell was trying to poison her against us. I don't know her name.
Not against us.
Well, you said, tell John what
you told
her.
We were having a conversation about ESPN's hiring practices.
Not ours. The big one.
But the big company's inability to hire cool athletes to talk about sports. They always hire the worst of the worst to talk about sports. And then Lance kept railing, and I told our intern, this is a man who likes to silence voices. I was going to say minority voices, but I didn't want to throw in that much sauce on the commentary. But this is a man who doesn't like to hear from people who disagree with him. So if you ever say anything, check with Lance first to see if he likes it, or he'll silence you.
He was going all in with his thing that he does.
Just ask Lance about Israel, how he feels about Israel.
Oh, no, no. No respect for him personally
him.
Or sports-wise. Well, once you become that device, I just tell you this way. If you're an intentionally divisive person, just know that I have no respect for you as a person. So I just want you to know that. If you try to divide people by race, if you try to divide them by religion, by anything. If you try to intentionally divide, then I have no respect for you as a person. I may talk to you. I may, you know, do whatever. But just know that in the background, I think you're one of the lowest forms of people who walk the
earth. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel that way. Because we all have to live together, and there's no reason to behave like that.
Yep.
I didn't go to church I don't go to church every Sunday to hear, now listen, here's the best way to get people mad at each other. What Father Troy's doing it again. He's trying to give us some good tips to troll. Heard that in church. And by the way, she said she's filling up. She goes, you guys have a lot of topics today. My sheet is just filled up with notes. What in the world? How hard is she working out there? She's writing notes in a notebook of our show.
Because she has to write the description under the title of what we talked about. Yeah,
That's way more work than we're doing.
Done. Yeah.
All right. And one of them is going to be Caitlin Clark. Jackie Robinson.
Don't write that one. Don't.
Tell her not to do that.
She's listening right now.
Because Sam's going to send that video out later. You know that, right,
yeah.
John? Sam already said pull that. She's already putting that out there.
Let's get Mark in here. What's up, Mark?
Good morning, guys. I've been listening to sports radio for almost 20 years now, and I've never heard a more airhead goofball meatbag than Israel. His takes, he thinks he's cooking, but they're complete buns, and it's obviously he's got a narrative that he's trying to create with only black athletes are superior and the white athletes are trash, and his takes, they're all wrong. He had the Shador going top 10, wrong. What else? Cam Smith, the GOAT, whatever. We're waiting to see how that plays out, but wrong so far. And now he's got this Angel Reese narrative. It's just annoying and frustrating, and I agree with Glenn.
He called him meatbag and buns.
Well, he said his takes are buns, certainly. Mm-hmm. Not the best, buns.
Buns and cheeks are the same thing, John. Yeah. You can say either one.
It's another way to just say ass. Your takes are ass.
Saying something's buns and cheeks are a little more clever.
I agree, but it's the problem
is when you only have one, you can only go one way.
He's got one pitch.
Every single
yeah,
time.
He's always going right. He's
always going
just
right.
Just take away his right hand, he's got nothing.
There's nothing. I mean, Israel, you got to change it up a little bit.
Everyone knows.
At least trick us.
Yeah, everyone knows. Well, at least this show. Now, Mark obviously showed himself to know as well. When you call in, we know where you're going.
Right.
Which is the worst.
The worst.
Yeah, I should never know exactly what you think and are going to say. Like the Gary who used to be kind of combative. He didn't really call as much anymore. The combative Gary. But every once in a while, he'd switch it up on us. And
he
try
calls
to fool
me and
us.
Talks about girls softball.
What?
I told you, he has a daughter.
That's right.
And they made state.
Did you see the video of the Arkansas hitter, John? There's a girl in Arkansas
who's the
most devastating. She's the Babe Ruth of Arkansas, the Shohei Ohtani, whatever you want to call her. And they set up outside like she's a right-hander. They set up so far in the left-hand box.
Or they hit her.
She got intentionally walked twice, basically. Yeah. And then she got hit on the arm another time when they came inside. And then they finally had to throw a pitch because it was bases loaded. The game was tied. I think they were either up one or tied. The bases were loaded the last inning, and they had to finally pitch to her. And as soon as they threw one strike, she crushed a grand slam. Just annihilated. Her OPS is like 1,400. She's got 26 home runs. She's a monster, and no one will pitch to her.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we're going to do this Aaron Rodgers thing. I promise. That's going to happen on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, my friends, I've got to talk about Brinkman. Brinkman Quality Roofing. I talked about this a little while ago about making sure that you do preemptive stuff. And Jason says, man, listen, your insurance, it's a problem. Your insurance is a problem if you don't do anything about your roof. Jason Brinkman, who's been doing this forever, has seen everything. He knows they've got every single kind of roof that you could possibly want. If you've got a tin roof, if you've got solar, if you've got shingles, whatever it is that you've got, and there's way more. There's a lot more different types of roofs. He says, it doesn't matter. We've seen everything. They've been in business over 50 years. So, and he also told me, he said, yeah, those guys that knock on your door after a storm, they want to go up on your roof. He goes, we get more business from what they screw up than just regular business because they're going to screw it up. Go with somebody you trust. Go with somebody that knows what they're doing. Go with somebody that's been in business forever. You got a roof issue. If you haven't looked at your roof in a while, you need to. You need to do some preemptive work. Otherwise, your insurance company isn't going to pay if you have any damages. Just go to BrinkmanQuality.com, BrinkmanN Quality.com. A free evaluation of your roof at BrinkmanQuality.com.
ESPN 97.5.